ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Paul's ready to go. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, Amen. Strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. And Lord, we come before thee as very needy people. Amen. Lord, I recognize that outwardly, for most of us, it's easy to put on a smile and a happy face. But Lord, inside is really where the heart of the matter is. Lord, I pray as all of us are experiencing different things in our lives, and as we think of this particular thing this evening, that you'd please teach us some things that could help us from your word. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and honest with you tonight. And God, I need you as I preach thy word. Fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. May your word go forth tonight with power and clarity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On August 14th, 2014, The New Yorker published an article by Andrew Solomon. It was entitled this, "Suicide, a Crime of Loneliness." In the article he stated, every 40 seconds someone commits suicide. In the United States, it's the 10th most common cause of death of people over 10 years of age. Far more common than death by homicide, aneurysm, or even AIDS. Nearly 500,000 Americans are taken to the hospital every year because of suicide attempts. And I want to ask this question tonight. Why? Why the dramatic increase in suicide? By the way, there is a dramatic increase in suicide attempts and suicide. Why? You know, one suicide that baffled many was the suicide of an actor and comedian named Robin Williams. Williams played for years on a sitcom called Mork and Mindy. He starred in over a dozen popular movies. He was known publicly for his humor, his smile, and his crazy personality. He was just a crazy kind of, in the world's eyes I'm talking about here, funny guy, and he won 4 Academy Awards, and some critics have even said that Robin Williams was one of the funniest comedians of all time. He was at the time in a happy marriage, and he had 3 children. If you looked at him on the outside, you'd think that this man had everything. He had fame, he had popularity, he had a family, he had money, he had all that what the world would say is something to pursue. Yet on August 11th, 2014, Robin Williams hanged himself in his home in Paradise Cay, California. Why? Why? Isn't that sad to you? Why would somebody do that? You know, although there are more than likely multiple contributing factors, I'm not sure if there's one particular thing you may put your finger on, but the article in the New Yorker I just quoted a little earlier attributes his and many other people's suicides and attempts to one primary cause: loneliness. Loneliness. It went on to say this: suicide is a crime of loneliness. An adulated people can be frighteningly alone. People that are looked at and are adored by others, people that they say, oh, I want to be like him, many of them are lonely. Are lonely. Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject: man's problem of loneliness. Here in our text, we find the Apostle Paul nearing the end of his life. What a life he's had. Amen. 4 missionary journeys, traveling through much of the known world, preaching the gospel, planting churches. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul for a moment? I mean, going to the island of Cyprus, going into the areas of Galatia, planting churches in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, going into Macedonia on his second missionary journey into the cities of Philippi and Thessalonica, on to Berea and Corinth and Athens, over to Asia Minor on his third missionary journey, well, really at the end of his second missionary journey as well, to the city of Ephesus there. He has been to Jerusalem. He has been to the great capital city of Rome, Italy. He traveled with many people. Hey, people like Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Priscilla and Aquila and Luke, who were all at one time or another a part of his team. There they were, side by side, working together, this church planting team. And he met many people along the way as well. Romans chapter 16 lists, over 20 people that he knew in Rome. He sends greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis and Rufus and Mary and Amplius and Urbane and Stachycus and all these people in Rome. He knew a lot of people. And now, after 25 plus years of ministry, we come to the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we find Paul in Rome, in prison, and alone, by himself. Look again at some verses here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Look at verse 16. At my first answer, notice the next two words: No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Here he is in Rome in a prison awaiting his execution, and he's all alone, all by himself. Do you know that it's in these moments of being alone that all of us, even saved people, have the potential to struggle with loneliness, being alone? So the question tonight I'd like to ask is, how do you and I get victory over the potential or the problem of loneliness? How do we do it? Let's go ahead and look at our sheet. Notice, first of all, let's consider several things tonight about loneliness and how to get victory over it. Number one, would you write this down? The explanation of loneliness. The explanation of it. What exactly is loneliness? Well, letter A, write this down: the definition of loneliness. You know, it's very important to understand the meaning of loneliness. You know, first of all, the word loneliness is not found in the Bible, not once. Not a form of it. You don't find lonely, loneliness, nothing, not a word of it. But the word alone is. In fact, the word alone is found in 106 verses in the Bible, not all having in the same meaning, but some are found in the Old Testament. Sometimes you find the word alone in the New Testament. We find it everywhere in the Bible. First occurrence, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Some other occurrences, here's another one, Genesis 32:24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." So we find that God mentions people being alone throughout the entire Bible. And as we think of what loneliness is, it's important to remember or understand one thing about loneliness. And I wrote it there right under that picture. Notice what I wrote. Remember this, that loneliness and being alone are not the same thing. While being alone can prompt loneliness, loneliness does not arise simply because of the absence of people. You know, you can be in the midst of a crowd and be lonely. You can be surrounded by friends, even at a gathering or at a party, and feel lonely. You could be around nobody. You could be around one person. You could be around a group of people. And in all of those situations, you can still be lonely. Do you know there are some people that are married, have a mate for life, and their biggest struggle in life is loneliness? There are people in successful careers that say they're lonely. And I want to ask, what's going on? Why is that? Well, let me define loneliness, if you would, and you may want to write this down somewhere. Loneliness can be defined as this: an unpleasant emotional response. And by the way, the key word is response. An unpleasant emotional response to a perceived or real isolation. It is an unpleasant response to either a real or a perceived isolation. It's when somebody feels or perceives that they have no one they can turn to. It's when someone perceives or feels that there's nobody that understands. They feel unwanted. They feel uncared for. They feel unneeded. They feel that people are not interested in their lives. They feel that people are not interested in their interests, or they're just not interested in general. You know, there are a lot of people who feel this way. Psychologists, Psychology Today magazine, not a fundamental Baptist think tank, but it estimates that over 40% of people struggle with loneliness at some point in their lives. 40%. You know, with all the time spent on social media and Facebook and the Instagram and the likes and not likes, whatever you want to say, and the texting and all the tweeting, with all that involvement that millennials have, we are told that 30% of millennials aged 23 to 38 say that they are always or often lonely. Do you know that this is more than any previous generation that's been surveyed? Imagine the people that are growing up, the young adults here, they're saying the problem that I face more than anything, imagine with all this social stuff that's going on, is I feel lonely. And by the way, feeling lonely is not an uncontrollable condition. It's actually a willful decision. That's what it is. It is a willful decision. And there are many people today, even in our churches, that feel lonely. They feel unwanted. They feel uncared for. Like nobody's interested. And they say, "I am lonely." So we see the definition of loneliness. But letter B, write this down, the occasion for loneliness. So loneliness, again, is an unpleasant emotional response to a perceived isolation. But you know there are several things in life that can prompt loneliness, that can instigate loneliness, that can cause us to struggle with loneliness, that can push us to choose this feeling of loneliness. And I crafted that sentence carefully. I say we choose the feeling of loneliness. What are some things that prompt people to feel lonely? Well, I'll give you four of them. Number one is this. Would you write it down? The loss of a loved one. I remember when my father had passed away and my mother had, of course, we went through the funeral services and then she went back home and the house got quiet and there she was sitting there in the house. Of course, we tried to support her and be with her as much as possible, but the time came when people had to get back to work. People had to go back to their lives and we had families. We still contacted her and we still do to this day. But the truth of the matter is, I believe she struggled with loneliness. Do you know many widows and widowers struggle with loneliness when they lose a spouse? Imagine that, being married for decades to the same person. Always being together in the same house. Always having someone to talk to, going places together, having someone around, and then suddenly that person is gone, and there they are alone. Everything changes. Holidays are not the same. Family gatherings are not the same. Can I say this? Nothing's the same. And understand, if you've experienced a loss of a loved one, understand if you're not careful, you are going to struggle with loneliness. So we see the loss of a loved one. There's a second thing that I think of when we think of something that prompts loneliness, and that is this, a change in surroundings. You ever go to a strange place? Well, you didn't know anybody? How many ever did that? Raise your hand, everybody, right? You didn't know anybody. The place could be filled with people, but if you don't know anyone or no one talks to you, we can struggle with loneliness. You know, sometimes people struggle with loneliness, particularly women, when they get newly married. They get married and they leave and cleave, and they leave their family. They move to a new place. New people, new surroundings, new church, all of that. And although there are people around and they have a new husband, they often struggle with being lonely. A new job could prompt loneliness. Going to a new church, you come to a place, maybe you moved and you come to a new church. It's kind of weird, you know. You don't know anybody. Not many people may talk to you. And you struggle with loneliness. Moving to a new location, a house or a city or a neighborhood. And again, you don't know anyone. You struggle with loneliness. We have some people, of course, graduating. Thank the Lord for that. They go off to college. Guess what they may struggle with if they're not careful? Loneliness. New school, new environment, new people. They don't know anyone. They knew everyone before. A new church. All of it's different. And so they struggle with that loneliness. You see, it's in these places where we go and no one knows us and we don't know them and we struggle with this idea of loneliness. You know, sometimes getting old brings loneliness. Excuse me. Kids grow up, they move out of the house, and what you remember as having a house full of kids and things, the busyness of every day, and one by one they get married and trickle off to their new lives and their new homes, and here you are at home, and you look around at the four walls, and if you're not careful, you'll get lonely because things change. You see, these are things in life that you and I face that could prompt loneliness. Again, the loss of a loved one, a change in circumstances. Here's a third one. Would you write it down? Being unmarried. You know, it's not God's will for everyone to be married. Amen? It's not, but it is for some. And some people that it's not God's will for them to be married, they struggle with loneliness, particularly if they go to school and they watch their friends in college get married and meet their life's mate. And here they get through school and they're still single and life seems like it's passing them by. And when they go anywhere, as the years go on, they feel like the third wheel when they go places and do things. And they always go home to an empty house. It's not easy. And many struggle with loneliness. There's a fourth area. I'm sure there's more, but here's just four thoughts for you. You know, it can be lonely taking a stand for Christ. So write that down. Our stand for the Lord. Sometimes our stand for Christ prompts loneliness. I remember my wife and I got saved and we started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we had a group of friends that knew us before we were saved. And we started to witness to them. We had a burden for them. We started to talk to them about the Lord and we found out something. Not everybody wanted to hear it. And one by one, they kind of drifted away. We also noticed we lost friends and our relationships with our family got a little bit different, you know. All of a sudden, we don't want to do the things we used to do. We're not into that scene anymore. And the things they want to do, the places they want to go, and the things they want to get involved in, we don't want to do that anymore. And people don't understand that. And what do? They naturally repel. They are standoffish to us. Relatives treat us differently. And we have to battle with something. Loneliness. Loneliness. Again, my point is this. We're talking about explaining loneliness. And that is this. Loneliness, feeling unwanted, uncared for, out of place, that no one wants to talk to us, or no one to talk to, and no one to turn to at one time or another. Something that we all deal with. We all deal with that. So how do we deal with it? Well, let's move on. Notice number one, the explanation of loneliness. Number two, the error with loneliness. You see, the problem that we face is this, as I said earlier, and you ought to write, well, I wrote it down here for you. Notice, we equate being alone with loneliness. In other words, we're alone and we get to this place where we make a decision to feel lonely or to respond in loneliness, and we justify that feeling because we're all by ourselves. And we say things like this: if I had someone to talk to, it wouldn't be so bad. If people would just show an interest in me, then things wouldn't be so bad. But you know, the truth of the matter is this, and please understand what I'm saying. Listen, hear it out. Sometimes God wants us to be alone. Amen. Do you ever think of that? Think of the many times in the Bible that God, on purpose, got people alone. You see, we have this idea that there ought to be this kind of party atmosphere in our lives and people around all the time, and people should we should love one another, and we should do that. But I'm just saying there are times in the Christian life that God wants us to be alone. Amen. It's a good thing to be alone at times. And let me show you a couple times. Go back to Genesis chapter 32. I read this verse earlier. Genesis chapter 32. Notice verse 24. I think you know the story. God calls Jacob out of Paddan Aram, and he wants him to go back to Bethel. And so he's making that journey of what was out by Ur of the Chaldees, where he had gone out there after he fled from Esau. And of course he married Rachel and Leah and had the children. And now they're coming back. God's calling them back to the land. And as he's going back to the land, God has him separate his family from him before he meets Esau. And he does something with Jacob. Look at verse 24. Making sure I'm not in the right chapter. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. You see, God had a plan for Jacob. God wanted to deal with Jacob. God wanted to talk to Jacob. God had a work he wanted to do in Jacob's life. But he couldn't do that work with people around. He had to get Jacob alone. And we know that wrestling match was with God himself. And God was breaking the will of Jacob that night, but he had to get Jacob alone. My point is this: sometimes it's good to be alone. Let me show you another place. Please go to 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah. Elijah first comes on the scene here in 1 Kings chapter 17. And he's introduced to us in verse 1. And notice verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. May I add this? It's there, it's implied, but we know it's there. He was alone. He was by himself. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Here it is again. Elijah is called by God to go out to a place here by the brook Cherith. And what did God want to do? He wanted to do a work in Elijah's life to get Elijah alone. You know, God will often get us alone as well, or try to get us to be alone. He'll often desire to seclude us away from everything, to put us in situations where we feel like we're all by ourselves. Why? Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's in those alone times that God can uninterruptedly speak to us. It's in those times that he gets us alone, that he can teach us things that he couldn't do otherwise. It's in those times that he gets us alone, that he gets a hold of our heart. And it's those times that we are alone, that we find that our sufficiency is not in people, it's not in our comfort, but our sufficiency is in him. You see, what God tries to teach us in those times that we're alone is that he is all we need. Amen. Turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice verse 5. Notice we read, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Please look at this with me closely. But our sufficiency is of God. Amen. You see, God tries to teach us that, that he is all we need, that he is our sufficiency. And the best place for him to teach us that is not in the crowd, is not around people, but it's when we are alone and we have nothing else to depend upon but him. I like what Vance Havner once said. He said this, it is when God is all we have that we truly realize that he is all we need. Don't make this mistake tonight that being alone or even feeling alone means that we have to be lonely. Because we don't. You can be alone and I can be alone without suffering or falling in the trap of feeling like, woe is me, and nobody cares for me, and nobody's showing an interest in me. Those are words that come from a person that is dealing with loneliness. Oh, I think of Elijah. When he had gotten all alone there, he allowed that after Jezebel had threatened him, and he took off into the mountain, and he was all alone, but he allowed that aloneness to develop into loneliness. And do you remember what he cried out to God? He said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm the only one left that's doing right, in essence, is what he said. And God said, that's not true. Amen. I have plenty of prophets besides you that are speaking my word. Those are the words of a person that's alone, that allowed that aloneness to turn into loneliness. It's important to understand that distinction. So notice again, number one, the explanation of loneliness. Number two, the error of loneliness. And then number three tonight, let's talk about the evading of loneliness. Why is experiencing loneliness such a bad thing? Well, let me just say this. Loneliness is not a fruit of the Spirit. I don't find it there after love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. I don't see piled on top of that loneliness. Because it's not a fruit of the Spirit. You see, loneliness, if we allow being alone to cause us to experience a loneliness, what can happen is many things. We can make some bad decisions. You know, a woman that's not married and lets that aloneness become loneliness could marry someone out of the will of God. Someone who feels alone could change jobs because they say, well, nobody cares for me here. Nobody is showing an interest in me. And they do something out of the will of God. A preacher can change a ministry because he thinks the same way. Well, nobody cares and nobody's concerned. And he feels like he's all alone and he makes a poor decision. People can leave a marriage because they've allowed some aloneness to develop into loneliness. And as we saw earlier in the message, my opening illustration, a man committed suicide, and people commit suicide because they allow that aloneness to develop into loneliness. You see, as I said, this loneliness is not something that the Lord wants in our lives. Yes, alone at times, no doubt. But understand, whether we're by ourselves or in a room full of peace and a room full of people, a Christian should never, never feel lonely. He should never feel unwanted. He should never feel uncared for. Never. Amen. And if that describes you tonight, then something's wrong. You're not thinking right. You say, preacher, how do I fix my thinking? Well, I'm going to give you two things to do here. Notice, in order to prevent loneliness, we must do two things. Number one is this. Remember God's presence. Amen. Let's go back to the story with Paul in 2 Timothy again, in chapter 4. And you, some of you amened it when I read it. But as Paul is describing his aloneness, in verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Again, go to verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But notice in verse 17, his cure for loneliness. We read, notwithstanding, say it with me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You see, the truth of the matter is, as believers, you may be in a different place geographically. You may be at a new job or a new church or perhaps something, some circumstance in your life. Maybe you just lost a spouse, and certainly we feel for you tonight. But let me just say this. As a believer, you're never alone. Amen. We're never alone. You're not thinking right if you think you are. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Genesis 28:15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Notice God is telling us here in application that he never leaves. He is always with us. Perhaps the problem tonight that you have, if you're feeling lonely, and I'm not trying to be smart or, you know, look upon your situation without a heart, but maybe it's a faith problem. Maybe you've forgotten that all we really truly need is the Lord. Turn with me. I'm going to show you a verse that the Lord said in John 16. I was just going to read it, but I'd like for us to see it here. John chapter 16. Notice verse 32. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking about how he is going to be physically on this earth, left alone. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave, notice, me alone. But notice the next phrase, and yet I am not alone. Amen. Because the Father is with me. You see, you may be in a new marriage. You may be in a new home. You may be in a new neighborhood. You may be in a new job. You may be unmarried and living by yourself. Or you may be a widow or a widower, and you may live by yourself. But you are not alone if you're saved, and you never will be. You never will be. And you see, the cure for loneliness is this: remembering His presence. Oh, I love Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, that's why it's so important for us to have a fellowship with our Lord. That's why it's so important for us to walk with God. Because when we walk with God every day, what we're doing, when we have our devotions in the morning, we start, if you have it in the morning, but we start it off by entering into His presence. Amen. And realizing He's there. And that He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And I could be sitting in my house all day long by myself. But understand something. If my heart's where it ought to be, then I'll remember I am not alone. Amen. He's with me. And I never have to feel lonely. Because my Lord never leaves me nor forsakes me. So the cure to loneliness, number one, is to remember God's presence. And then number two is this. Is to review your perception. Review your perception. You say, why? I want you to think for a moment. Do you know why you're lonely? This is going to sound cold. I'm not trying to sound cold. I'm really not. But loneliness, that feeling of being unwanted, that feeling like nobody cares, do you know that loneliness is rooted in selfishness?
Amen.
It is. It's rooted in selfishness. And understand, instead of having a pity party for yourself, instead of having a woe is me party for yourself, instead of asking the question, why doesn't anybody call me or text me or talk to me or visit me or me, instead of doing that, think about others.
Amen.
You have the wrong perspective of life. It's not about you.
Amen.
And if you want to stop yourself from going down the path of loneliness, stop thinking of yourself and think about others.
Amen.
Get involved in ministering to others. Get involved in the lives of other people. Go after souls. Strive to be a blessing to someone else. Stop making life about you. It's not about you. It's about Christ.
Amen. Praise
you see, a person that struggles with loneliness takes their situation and turns it inward and looks out and just wonders why everybody just doesn't come running and attending to their needs. You'll never be satisfied if that's what you're looking for. Let me give you a familiar verse. Philippians chapter, I believe it's 2 and verse 4 says this: look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's a prescription for all of us. You see, if I turn my life inward and I say, oh, woe is me, how come everyone doesn't build me up and compliment me and attend to me and me? Understand something. That's a person that's struggling with loneliness. We shouldn't come to church wondering why people don't shake our hand. Well, you can't anyway. Or friendly to us. What does the Bible say, right? He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, I just nobody cares about me, and I'm sitting in this house all alone, and they don't come to me and talk to me, and me. That's exactly the problem. That's why I say loneliness is rooted in selfishness.
Amen.
If you're struggling with loneliness, it's because you've made your life about you. See, none of us have to be lonely.
Amen.
We don't. We deal with situations all the time. All of us do. New situation to walk into, you know. I go to a special meeting, and it's a church I've never been to, but I'm going to hear a preacher. What do I do? Do I sit down in the pew and I fold my arms? I say, wonder who's going to say hello to me? And if they don't, I get all upset. And I say, wow, and I struggle with, wow, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. That's the wrong attitude. You go to be a blessing. You go to be an encouragement to others. You be the proactive one. And you'll find as you and I reach out to others and we think about others first, that we won't struggle with loneliness anymore, because there's more to do than us to do it. And the joy of the Lord will be with us, because in his presence is fullness of joy. You see, and now I'm closing right here. Loneliness is an unbiblical response to a common problem we all face, being isolated or alone. The question is, how are we going to respond to those times? Are we going to turn it inward, or are we going to turn it outward? So tonight you may be alone, but you don't have to be lonely.
Amen.
You don't have to. No believer should ever be. When there's a God in heaven that loves us, that never leaves us nor forsakes us, and He is there listening to us and speaking to us all the time, and then the outside there's a world of people to minister to,
amen,
none of us should struggle with loneliness. Paul didn't. He was all alone. But he said, notwithstanding, the Lord was with me. God deliver us from loneliness. Amen? Let's pray.